Well, good morning, everybody, and good morning those who are watching at home. I thought we'd start this morning with a little quiz. So I hope you've brought your thinking caps with you. We'll start with some younger people, and then there's a question for adults at the end. So adults, this is not a time to switch off. So the first question is for anyone maybe who's in the youngest lighthouse class. So anyone up to the age of seven, who can tell us what... I won't kick it, honest. Who can tell me what book of the Bible we've been looking at this term in church on Sunday mornings? Who can tell us what book of the Bible we've been looking at in church on a Sunday? Barnabas, yes. Matthew. Everyone agree with that? Yeah, we have been looking at Matthew's Gospel. Good. Who, again, if you're in the youngest Lighthouse class, who can tell me whereabouts in the Bible we find Matthew? Anybody know where in the Bible we find Matthew? Maybe if you're in the older Lighthouse class, anybody tell me where we find Matthew? Someone must know, yes. It is in the New Testament. Anyone know whereabouts in the New Testament? That's quite easy. Yes, Zach. It's right at the start of the New Testament. Yeah, it's the first book in the New Testament. Slightly trickier question. Can anyone tell me why Matthew wrote his gospel? I'll give you four clues. Did Matthew write his gospel because he wanted to write a book about himself, an autobiography? Did he write his gospel because the other disciples told him to? Did he write because he wanted to show how Jesus the Messiah fulfilled a lot of Old Testament prophecies? Or did he write because he thought it was better than Mark, Luke and John and he wanted to be first in the New Testament? So who can tell me? One, two, three or four? Say it in a big loud voice. Number three. Yes. The main central theme of Matthew's gospel is promise and fulfillment. God promises in the Old Testament to save his people Israel and the whole of the world. And these promises are fulfilled in the coming of Jesus the Messiah. And every chapter of Matthew's gospel has this theme running through it. So here's a final question, and adults, this is for you. Who can tell me of a prophecy in the Old Testament that we see fulfilled in the Lord Jesus in Matthew's gospel? So can you think of a prophecy in the Old Testament? Someone's done some research on this and think there are 300 or more Old Testament prophecies that are fulfilled in the New Testament, and there are at least 25 of these in Matthew's gospel. So if you think you can think of a prophecy in the Old Testament, you'll get a bonus point if you can tell us where in the Old Testament that prophecy is. Sarah will come around amongst you with a microphone so we can all hear. Yes.
So I think today's Palm Sunday is a prophecy in the Old Testament, the entry into Jerusalem on a donkey. And I'm going to go out on a limb with Zechariah.
Well done. Yeah, so we will come back to that. Spoil the rest of the sermon. So, yes, Zechariah, we will come back to that in a few minutes. Any other Old Testament prophecy? Jill's got one, Sarah. Oh.
I've looked in the Bible. Is that allowed?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
In chapter 3, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him, is from Isaiah.
Yeah, there are lots in Isaiah. Anyone else had...
Isaiah 53,
yes, packed with prophecies about the crucifixion and what happens on the cross. So, well done. If you want to know any others, I've got a list here of all the prophecies that Matthew has, and maybe we could chat about that over coffee. And that leads me to our first main point this morning. There are only 2 points, so you haven't got much to remember. Our first main point is Jesus is God's promised king. Maybe we could all say that together. Jesus is God's promised king. Well, we'll have a look about what Matthew tells us about the first Palm Sunday, a story in a minute. But first, the prophecy that was mentioned from Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. And this is what that verse says. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Well, Zechariah wrote about 500 years before Jesus was born. And he wrote that a king would arrive in Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, that might surprise us a little bit, because a king wouldn't normally expect to arrive in victory. Zechariah tells us the king is coming, that he's victorious, so he's coming in victory, but he will be riding on a donkey. He will be lowly, or humble is what lowly means, and riding on a donkey. But if you picture in your mind what a victory parade might look like, the projector's not great. That's Liverpool Football Club, of course, having won the European Champions League in 2019, and they went on a tour, open-top bus tour, through the city of Liverpool. Maybe you think it'd be more like this, if there was a victory parade, the Queen in a carriage, and lots of soldiers. Think back 2,000 years to when the Romans were around, and maybe you'd see a Roman in a big white horse. He's in a very shiny gold chariot, not that you can really see it. Think of the Oscars victory parade, you might roll out the red carpet. Well, Zechariah is telling us that a king is coming, but he would not arrive in Jerusalem as you would expect to arrive. He's not going, look at me, I'm the most important person, look what I've done, I've won this battle, I've won that battle, I'm coming on a big white horse in a big shiny chariot. It's not easy to say. Zechariah doesn't tell us that. He says the king is coming, lowly, riding on a donkey. And Matthew in his gospel has already given us a little clue or a hint as to what kind of king was coming. Just before Matthew tells us about Jesus coming to Jerusalem as king in chapter 21 that we'll look at in a minute, he tells us at the end of chapter 20, he says these words, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Full of humility, lowly, a king who wants to serve rather than be served. A king who will give his life as a ransom for many, for us. That's not what the people were expecting. Maybe that's not really what we would expect today. But Matthew's really keen for his first readers and for us to understand exactly what kind of king Jesus is like. He is a servant king. Well, we'll think about that a little bit more in a few minutes' time. But let's just remind ourselves as our first point, Jesus is God's promised king. So let's all say that together. Jesus is God's promised king. Well, we're going to think about that a little bit more. Our next song picks up on this theme as well. Ian, if you could put the words up for me. so if you see the second line there, Jesus is the one, the promised one. Maybe you would stand and sing, Jesus is the King. Julia, I think is going to... Well, I hope you can remember our first point this morning. Let's say it together nice and loud. Jesus is God's promised King. Well, if you have a Bible handy, maybe you could turn to Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to act out all together. We've all got a part to play Matthew's account of Palm Sunday. Sarah, you going to go to the... Well done. You'll need to transport yourselves 2,000 years back to a time... back in time, to a small village on the Mount of Olives called Bethpage. So there's a little map on the screen, I hope. So if you can see that, Jesus has come through the town of Bethany. He's gone to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, the top right-hand corner. and he's on his way into Jerusalem, where he will enter via the temple. Here's a picture, not a very good picture, but it's a picture of what Bethpage looks like. Now, if the children would all like to go to the back of the church, you could go and join Sarah at the back of the church. Take a mum or a dad with you if you want, that's absolutely fine. You're going to become Jesus and his disciples. It doesn't matter if we have more than 12, that's absolutely fine. And the rest of you, you're going to become a very large crowd, because that's what we need, a very large crowd. So I'm going to read the account that Matthew gives us, and we'll stop every now and then for us to be able to act it out. So Matthew tells us this. As they, that's Jesus and his disciples, approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples. So we need two disciples, or two disciples. Yeah, there's two disciples. So if you come to Bethpage over here. That's all right. No, you can have as many as you like. You come to, this is our house in Bethpage. This is what Jesus says. Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey. So you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. So if we could have the words of Zechariah, let's say these words together. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Not quite sure what happened to the rest of the words. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed. So they've taken the donkey back to the rest of them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Okay, so we need everybody to stand up. You can't be a large and excited crowd sitting there half asleep. Have a look under your chair. And you might find that you've got a palm branch under your chair. If you have, you need to be ready to wave said palm branch. There are lots of palm branches around, thanks to Holiday Club. Jesus and his crowd of disciples at the back of the church, you need to be ready to walk down the aisle. Crowd, you need to be ready to be excited. So the crowds, this is what Matthew tells us, the crowds that went ahead of him and those followed. We've got some words to shout as well, so we need to say all together, Hosanna to the Son of David. You can start walking down the aisle. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. So keep shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Hosanna to the Son of David. It is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Okay, so well done. You can just sit down here, children, and mums and dads that have come with you. And Matthew then tells us, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was startled and asked, who is this? Sorry, crowd, you can sit down now. And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Well, does anybody know what the word Hosanna means? Anybody know what Hosanna means? Someone thinks it might mean praise God. Anybody haven't? Okay, it does mean, yes, save us. Please save us. Deliverer. The crowds were quoting from Psalm 118 and verse 25 and 26, which say this, Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. Well, the crowd were expecting a king. Zechariah had told them that a king was coming. What the crowd wanted, of course, was a king who was going to save them from the Romans. They wanted a king, but a king who was going to conquer the Roman army that was occupying Judah at the time and who made life hard for the people. Well, Jesus had come to defeat an enemy, but not quite the enemy that the crowd had in mind. Jesus knew that the most important enemy was the barrier between God and man, sin. And that was much more serious than the Roman occupation in Israel. Rome was going to fall a few centuries later, but Jesus needed to defeat the bigger enemy, sin. So not only is Jesus God's promised king, Jesus is God's rescuer king. So can we all say that together? Jesus is God's rescuer king. That's why, as king, Jesus came to Jerusalem in fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy to victoriously defeat sin as God's rescuer. And how was that victory going to be won? How would Jesus defeat sin? Well, Jesus was going to be victorious, but that was a victory that at first sight was going to look like a defeat, as in a few days Jesus hung dying on a cross. But for Jesus, that's what humble service looked like. For Jesus, giving his life as a ransom for many is what his kingship looks like. Of course, in less than a week's time, as I say, Jesus would be put to death. But he would rise victorious 3 days later, something which we celebrate next weekend. So if you want to hear more about why Good Friday is called Good and about what happens on Easter Sunday, do come back next weekend. But there is one more question that we need to think about this morning. It's the question that Matthew includes in his account for Palm Sunday, where we read at the end of that little passage, the whole city of Jerusalem was stirred by Jesus' arrival and asked, who is this? Who is Jesus? I think it's a really important question that we need to ask ourselves today. Who is Jesus? The crowds in Matthew answered that he was a prophet from Nazareth. Maybe that's who you think Jesus is, just a prophet from somewhere, a good teacher from somewhere far away without much relevance for us today. Who is Jesus? Maybe you don't even think that he was real. He's just some imaginary person that weak and foolish people cling on to like a crutch. Who is Jesus? Do you believe that he is God's promised king and God's rescuer king? I hope so. But like the crowd, we need to shout out to Jesus, Hosanna, please save me, deliverer, because we can't do that on our own. We need to be rescued from sin. If we follow the path of sin, of saying, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules, this will only lead to death and to darkness. We need God's promised king to rescue us. And that's what Easter is all about, that we look forward to celebrating next weekend. So for today, think about who is Jesus. And say with me one last time, Jesus is God's promised king. Jesus is God's rescuer king. Right, should we do that again? Can you remember? It's not difficult. It's Jesus. Let's say he's promised king. Jesus is God's rescuer king. Fantastic. Thank you, children. You go and sit down. Sarah is going to come and lead us in some prayers.